Welcome to season 4 of Swiss Impact with Vanagis. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 4 is impactful businesses. Would you like to shift your capital to make positive impact and profit at the same time?
We will bring you amazing guests who are business owners, thought leaders, founders of impact investing funds, who will inspire you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will focus on high impact, high profit investment opportunities, which contribute to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by United Nations.
We are hoping that when you watch this, you will shift your capital to serve all people and the environment.
We do not have time to wait for politicians and big banks to start acting on a big scale. Our aim is to establish an easy and quick match between impactful businesses and investors.
We will be broadcasting live every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European Time here on Swiss Impact with Vanagis.
Impact is best when you invest. Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone, and to our guests from Far East. Good night.
Welcome back to season 4, episode 7. We are continue focusing on supporting impactful businesses around the world which create positive impact. And today, we stay local, but really local in our hometown Zug in Switzerland. As also here, there are many entrepreneurs and companies which do contribute to sustainable development goals.
And we start with inviting you and all your friends all over the world to watch our programs. And yes, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, not to miss any future excitement or exciting episodes. Just register at youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
Before we invite our guest, Ben, would you share some good story, something inspiring again, positive?
Thank you. So, well, today I speak of news, which I think many of you didn't hear about. On 17 February this year, more than 100 companies, cities, universities, development organizations, plus 22 business associations and networks, whose combined members and partners represent and gather over 60 million companies and farmers with over $25 trillion US dollar market cap and over 120 trillion assets under management in over 100 countries.
Yeah, lost. What did they do?
Many others signed a call on carbon, which called on the governments to do three things. First, back their net zero targets with effective, robust, reliable, and fit for purpose carbon pricing instruments. Align their carbon pricing instruments where appropriate. And finally, the third one, finalize the rules for international market mechanism under Article 6.
Wait. What is Article 6?
It's the part of the Paris Agreement coming from IPCC. That's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, founded by our late Dr. Rajendra Pachauri. In present format, it has further developed at the COP26 in Glasgow last year under the leadership of President Alok Sharma.
All right, another Indian, I guess.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. It's a very detailed and comprehensive article which you can read on the internet. But most importantly, it says international cooperation through carbon markets can bring additional public and private finance and catalyze emission reductions in a country hosting the mitigation activity. So now, coming back to my story, which made long by the explanation, I wanted to finish with the following statement. Lots of it boils down to the following. One of the greatest strategic risks is a function of misfit between our business identity and the future systematic and long-term evolutions of the external environment.
Thank you, Ben. That was a complicated story, but fortunately, at least a positive one. And now I take a pleasure to invite our guest of today. And he has a very Indian family name.
A Bengali, to be more precise.
So welcome, Jasper Bhaumik. Please join us today.
In Bengali, it will be Bhaumik.
Hello, nice to meet you. Nice to be here, please.
Nice to meet you. Where are you right now, Jasper?
Right now, I'm in Bremen. The office is in Zug. And yes, you're right. My father is from Bengali, is a Bengali. So, yeah, all over.
That's correct. All right. We are happy to hear that. Let me introduce you to our guests before we proceed with the interview. You studied business and economics in Bremen. And in your final diploma work, you wrote about projects in emerging countries using the example of growing lupins in Africa.
What is lupins?
I knew you don't know that. They grow in many countries. So when I was a kid, I've seen those beautiful flowers. They can be pink, white, red, violet. And the thing is, they have a quality seed. And these seeds are full of fiber, which contain all 9 amino acids and also a lot of minerals like magnesium they contain. So being a vegan, you know, we do it from time to time, some lupin-based food. But now back to other great steps in your life, Jasper. You were engaged as SAP consultant in different industries, including defense, then changed to renewable and healthcare industry and created your own companies. Today, you are the CEO of UmaSoft, which is the main owner of Bispando. And Bispando is a unique compliance platform for overall supply chain, which is very important for transparency. It enables companies to create a transparent future with positive impact to human rights and environmental health. We'd love to hear more about that today. So let's start.
So Jasper, we would like to know about your journey from University of Bremen to our little Zug in Switzerland.
Yeah, it was a short journey at the end, 30 years only. So I studied in Bremen, and as you already said, it was about project in development countries. And actually, I love that topic about lupins, and I have to go back from IT to that one day. So that's on one of my goals.
What are you doing with lupins?
Lupins, actually, as Rita already said, are very, very healthy, and especially they have a very good protein. And this protein is, compared to soybeans, much, much better, because it's much more comparable to meat protein. And that is something that is missing for humans. So it is a really good substitution, and for a vegan, perfect. There are some difficulties about lupins because they have a bitter taste in there, which is not very good and not very healthy. So that has to get cleaned out, or you have to have the right seed so you don't have it in there. But then there's another advantage about lupins, because you can get different types with very low water need or high water need, whatever is your environment, you can put them there. And they will always increase the quality of your ground. So that is a big, big difference to soya, because soya destroys the ground, and lupins will make it better. Now, they are usually used in Germany just in these cases where wheat is not planted anymore and the ground has to be upgraded again with lupin. So okay. That's what they're used for. So they're perfect for many, many countries.
Okay.
That's great.
So from there, actually, and I studied economics, so I went afterwards very, very fast into the IT, actually through SAP, because SAP was process-based and I was process consultant on that. Very early, after one of my project, where I was a project manager. I became CIO in the same company. There was a split, so they needed two CIOs, and they selected the SAP project manager for that. So that was me. From there, I moved over. There was a defense industry, and from there, I moved into renewable energies. And 4.5 years later, into healthcare. I like to switch different industries. As an SAP consultant before, I was also in breweries implementing SAP and at other companies, a complete different type. I like the different processes, which are at the end somehow similar, and you can reuse some things that you learned in other industries for the new one.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us what is the relationship between Bispando and Umasoft?
Yes.
That it's really clear?
Yeah. Umasoft is a company that has an enterprise service bus, an extended enterprise service bus with a strong development framework. So we had everything from a technology point of view that we needed to create Bispando. So 2.5 years ago, when we heard that there are a lot of companies that are fighting against the supply chain acts, actually in Switzerland and in Germany, we said, okay, well, there is a reason for that, because there seems to be very, very high effort. So we said, okay, we need a platform where everybody can combine his efforts and by that reduce the effort in total. And that's when we started to develop Bispando. And at some point, actually, at the beginning of this year, we took that out of Umasoft and created the own company, Bispando, for that. Because we split a little bit the platform and the development part that we are working on.
Mm-hmm. And if you tell us more about Bispando, because I find it really exciting. We also have a platform ourselves, so I'm a bit a fan of new platform which create positive impact.
Yeah. So. Maybe you can take a look at one slide where you see just an overview. It's small, you won't see everything, but just go on our website, you will see more. We say shared economy meets corporate accountability. Why? Because everybody will work into that platform. It is web-based completely. You will have on the lower left side something like an overview dashboard about your own compliance, about the compliance of your suppliers, and that is very, very important for the Supply Chain Act, also about your indirect suppliers. Everybody can take a look at his supplier, but it's much more difficult because sometimes you don't even know who is your indirect supplier, or you should not know because your supplier doesn't want you to know who is the right one. So what we do is, and you see on the upper right side, the different tier levels, we see who is red, who is green, or whatever in the supply chain. And you can also say that your customers, your suppliers should be anonymous to your customers. Of course, you always see your own suppliers, but if you don't want your customers to see your supplier with name, they will still see their compliance status. And that is very important for the overall Supply Chain Act. Everything, this color is based on a self-assessment in the first place, and in a second step, then there will be auditing as well. So you first say yourself what is your task, and then you let your auditor do it.
Mm-hmm. And for somebody who is not a supply chain, what's the difference between direct and indirect?
The indirect, the supplier of your supplier is your indirect supplier.
Okay.
Yeah, so you,
Where is the name coming from? Bispando.
Bispando. Oh, actually, it's set up between business, of course, and Pando is a very, very big wood in the United States, which is one organic plant. The whole wood is the same gene, and it's all together. So it's the biggest plant actually that exists from one case. And actually our whole business, our whole world is connected in the same way. There is not something like Europe or Africa or anything like that in supply chain, and especially also not in case of environmental things. So if any continent increases its carbon footprint, that is relevant for everybody. So yeah. We all have to work together on this, and that's why we created one platform for everybody.
Love that. It's awesome. Yeah, I completely agree that we all need to work together.
Exactly. And how does your product work?
So actually, what we do is very easy. You register on the platform. You fill out your self-assessment. You can later make an audit on your self-assessment. So it's, you get a certification on this, and it will not be done by us. Very important. We want to create a platform, and we want others to provide the services around. We don't see this kind of one-stop vendor who has everything about compliance. Totally not. It has to be shared between different businesses and so on. So however, you have your self-assessment, your result, and you invite your suppliers. You have your first tier, you have the color, and you ask your first tier suppliers to invite their suppliers as well. By that, you have a second. And they will do the same thing around the world, actually, along the supply chain. And by that, you can really get complete transparency on your supply chain, practically independent from the depth of the supply chain. So even if you want to go to tier 20 or tier 50, it would be possible. But of course, from a legal point of view, there is something like what you can handle as a company. So if you are a smaller company, you will not be expected to look at 200,000 suppliers in tier 5 or something like that. So it has to be reasonable. But in your abilities, you have to do the things that are necessary.
But in some companies, in some sectors, it's very important that the companies have, they keep their own suppliers hidden from other companies.
Yeah, so then in that case, you say, I invite my supplier, but I mark him as anonymous. So my customers will not see him. And they will still see the compliance status and also the compliance status of the suppliers below, but always without the name. So it's anonymous.
Okay.
Right. Let's go then a little bit deeper. So we see that you have a very strong focus on supply chain acts. And what is your market and what kind of customers do you have already or expect to have in the future? Yeah.
So actually, we do not focus on any kind of industry. Every industry has the same legal rule. So very often we are asked, okay, which one is your first industry that you want to target? And say, I take always the same example, which is if you have an automotive manufacturer, so you have metal in there, you have plastics in there, you have textiles in there. So what is the industry that you focus on in your supply chain? I mean, at the end, if you have textile, it could be that you have a farmer that plants cotton in that one and has nothing to do with the person that gives you the steel who has a mining company. So by that, supply chains go through different industries. So we target every industry.
But where do you start, maybe? From which industry did you start? Who are the, how you call them, the rats? Who start the first testing of the platform? So
we have the first early adopters. One is out of healthcare. It's a hospital in Munich. And one is out of the engineering business. He is world market leader in his segment with 70% market share worldwide. So very interesting. Germany is, of course, a country that is very focused on engineering. So it's very good for us to have that one. On the other side, I say, okay, well, healthcare is something which is very specific because their suppliers are very different. Yeah, they also have one-time textiles. They have medicals, pharmaceuticals. They have technical equipment a lot. So from that point, you already target 5 different industries immediately.
And And you had mentioned that you are sector and geographic agnostic, meaning that you can upload clients and partners, whether from Europe, Africa, Asia, you even mentioned Middle East. Can you please explain? And who exactly should they be, and maybe some concrete examples?
Yeah, from our technical perspective in the first place, what we have done with our basic system Crossloom, which is the enterprise service below, we have created something that we call directory services, which means that we can separate the different service worldwide. So we will have some in Africa, some in the US and so on, but still get all the statistics out of them with one single call out of the program, the system. So that way we can collect all the data out of no matter how many servers actually. So that is a technical thing below. And the reason for that is, as I said before, supply chains also do not care about borders. And well, it's not only about the supply chain. Actually, if we talk about the Supply Chain Act, who is the target? Is the target the industrialized country, which is already more or less working fine on human rights? Yeah. I mean, not perfect, but at least fine. Or are we targeting countries which have lower wages, different sanitary options, different kind of pollutions, and so on? So actually, we want to target them in a positive way. That means that the industrialized companies or the industrialized countries, companies, they are responsible for paying enough and doing the right steps to make these countries also be able to work in an efficient and at the same time humanitarian way. So yeah, that's their part. So that's from that part. So therefore, we said from the first day, this platform has to be spread out over the continents, also from a location point of view. You know that from different vendors today, like Microsoft, who's saying, okay, if you have a European company, your data will be in Ireland, for example, because the legal rules about the data have to comply with the European Union. And similar, African Union says today, we don't want to be colonized on a data perspective in the future. So our data are our data and not something that has to go out immediately to other countries. So from that point of view, we also say, okay, everybody should be in there. We are targeting very much comply with the German or the European rules for data protection, because we think they are most strong. But we use them for all countries. There's no reason to have lower rules in the US or in Africa or something else on our platform. Still, the data will be really placed at these locations.
But what, if I understand you correctly, so that the data are like the European data is in Europe, African data in Africa, and your application is over the data.
Exactly. So what we have is, of course, some servers that pull out statistical data out of these servers to be able to consolidate the information about the supply chain. But as soon as we go into the names and so on and the detailed data, then these data lie in the regional location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That sounds very interesting. I want to ask you, because I read it also on your platform, that Bispander reduces pollution, child labor, and potential wars. So how do you see this happening through the platform use?
Yeah. Let me go on one slide again, please. And that's about the Sustainable Development Goals. So if we take this one, Bispando does not really affect directly any of these. But it supports everybody who is doing or who's complying with the Supply Chain Act. And the Supply Chain Act directly affects all of these sustainable development goals. In my opinion, that is the biggest initiative on sustainable development goals at all. So let me start from the beginning. No poverty. I mean, of course, if you have fair wages, then people won't be poor. Zero hunger. If you are in an environmental, in the basic environmental standards and fair wages, again, families won't have to starve. Good health, well-being. The same again about the environment. If you have food, if you have a clean environment, this kind of things will help you to be in good health and well-being. Quality education is one of my favorites, actually. No child labor means child will be able to go to school instead. And that will, of course, immediately affect all the other elements that we see on the Sustainable Development Goals immediately for the next generation. Gender equality is one part of the Supply Chain Act about how you treat your staff and so on. Clean water and sanitation is part of the environmental standards. So actually, the Supply Chain Act is only about healthcare or, human rights. And these human rights include also the right for clean water and good earth and so on. So based on that, you always have also environmental standards in that. Decent work, economic growth. Of course, if we go into a fair business with all countries, then this is an automatic step that will happen there. I always say we need in all countries a strong middle class to let the country grow and to prosper. Reduced inequalities, again, the law says you have to treat your people right the same way. Responsible consumption and production. It's part of it. Actually, we are talking about different things about within the supply chain. We are also talking about recycling and so on. It's not directly in the law, but it will be a part of our platform. Climate action, I already said. Of course, environmental standards are part of it, and that also affects the climate. For me, and especially in these days, the topic about peace, justice, and strong institutions is a very, very important one. And we see nowadays that the wrong information is doing exactly the opposite. So as more people are educated, as more have their access to information, also between each other, more transparency, not only from politics or attached media, that will, of course, increase peace and justice of mind as well.
Actually, even educated ones nowadays struggle to see which information is correct. So it's definitely... But let's not get into that discussion. Instead, I'm going to challenge you on the other topic. All these SDGs, I mean, that's great if you can really create this impact. But how do you plan to measure your impact of this Pando platform? Or maybe you're already measuring it somehow. What will be the KPIs?
Yeah. Actually, the KPIs will mainly be the change in the total figures from red, meaning not compliant, to compliant. And of course, also the depth of the supply chain that will become transparent. So that are the main KPIs for us in our platform right now. Mm-hmm. I must say, there are very different steps on the platform. We are not finished yet. We have the first step about compliance. There will be, of course, another step about ESG in total. There are many financial rules nowadays already existing and coming up about ESG. And we will also include them on our platform so we get the same transparency on that. But we are a very small company, and this platform is already a big step for us. We will continue to push into other areas and get more insights, as I said, into ESG. We plan actually also to create something that is about foreign aid funding, which means that if you have an issue with your compliance in your company, or you want to restart a company and so on, then you will be able to ask for the funding through our platform to financial aid institutions. And they will also be able to measure how is the spending, for what, and so on. So that is also one of the steps that we are going to take. Of course, now we come somehow to one of the goals of this session. For this, we also need other partners and investors to go into the platform. Okay. As I said, it might be that we do it in our platform, or another one says, okay, well, I have a solution that could be attached to the supply chain topic, and then we integrate these two things without really integrate from a business perspective, but only from a technical perspective. We are an open platform. We want everybody to join and to participate to
so
make this thing.
It is a free platform, right? As I understand.
Sorry?
The platform is free now.
Yeah, it is. We have it not only in the moment. The platform will stay free with all basic functions, which means that you will be able to import your suppliers. You will be able to see your data along your supply chain. You can make your self-assessment and so on. That will stay for free. It's very important for us that everybody in any corner of the world, independent from his financial possibilities, is able to participate. So that was the basic rule. And as a second step, of course, we have to finance the whole thing also somehow.
And yeah, because I'm sure in the audience head is now okay, but the auditing process is paramount for the platform. Who covers all these costs, you know, and how?
Yeah, there are two things. So first of all, we have something like a subscription model that we will implement in 1 year probably or two, which means if you want some specific reports, which are legally required, for example, in Germany, actually they are required in the industrialized countries, and some other features that will allow you to get even more out of the system, then we have a subscription model. And then in the second step, there will be the audit. But the audit is done by a third party. That will be a local. In our opinion, audits have to be local. So it's not us. We will get something like a small fee from the auditor based on that. And that depends on the size. I have a small slide for that as well. So you can see where we say, okay, this is to be paid and this is for free. So as you see already, these rates are on the subscription are not monthly, but yearly. So if, and I say not everybody has to, we expect only 1% of the companies on the platform to take a subscription in total. But if you want to, it starts with 60 euro per year and ends even for the biggest companies at 12,000 euro per year from a subscription perspective. And this subscription includes something like reporting, get visible in a search for other companies, get some information about the complaints of your supply chain, which is also a legal requirement. This whistleblower topic is something that is in the Supply Chain Act also included. So these kind of features will be in this subscription fee. And that is comparable, a very, very low element. And we will get from the auditor, if he executes an audit, then there is a bigger reason. And audits are, of course, more expensive. We cannot, that's something, we cannot say what is the price because that will be the auditor that decides that. But there will be also a competition, so the price will be reasonable, I believe. And then we have these rates, which we then get from the auditor. There will also be something like NGOs on the platform where all the features are for free, all these kind of things, financial institutions, other elements where we have a chance to finance the platform with.
And if I understand you correctly, you want to expand your network or your platform's network organically. So that means you have a company and the company will invite its customers and suppliers. But why? What is their incentive? Why would they do that?
Yeah, the main incentive of this is that you want to be in the business. So in the European country, companies, they will have to be compliant and they will have to show their compliance. They must get transparency in their supply chain. For the company outside, it will be relevant because otherwise they will not be able to sell to European companies. They have to be compliant. So there is a, in both directions, there's a need for that.
Yeah.
The advantage of our platform then again is that you spend only once on an audit. Yeah, you don't have to, you will not be audited by 10 different countries because they want to make business with you. You get one auditor, should be a certified auditor, of course, not anybody. And by that audit, everybody in Europe can be assured that he has done his duty and take this company as a vendor for himself. So there's a real big advantage for all sides on this platform, yeah, because the auditor will be able to find companies that need an audit. Companies will be able to find customers. They will be able to find suppliers that are compliant. They will be able to find consultants to make them compliant, because it's not that easy. You have to make some changes. Yeah. You have to prepare some documents. So these kind of things will be also hopefully on the platform. That's the idea. If everybody participates, it will be an easy thing to share information and by that also decrease the cost in total. Yeah.
But this is still very much focused on the developed world. But what about the developing countries? Do you have a specific approach with businesses there, or it is the same?
We talk to, of course, business associations in developing countries. And my personal target is, of course, also to get more in close contact with the African Union. Why? The African Union has an Agenda 2063, which says they want to create wealth in Africa. How do you do that? You do that by fair prices. As I said at the beginning, you need a strong middle class. And you only can get a strong middle class if you have companies that pay them at least reasonable.
Yeah.
To get there, that is the Supply Chain Act. So where whoever exports and complies also means that he pays his employees fair prices. And so there's even the impact for the developing countries is much, much bigger than for the industrial countries. They have the effort. They have only the effort. They also will have increased prices, of course. I mean, we don't talk about that nobody pays something more for others to get higher wages. Of course, there will be higher prices. So this one might be €5 more expensive.
Yeah.
How much does it matter at the end? What are the alternative costs? The alternative costs in developing countries are much, much higher, because what we have seen in Africa about what countries from Europe have done there to the environment now affects us.
Yeah, exactly.
These kind of things will change. And to make a change, it is very important to control that change also from the industrialized countries with the budget in the developing countries. It's not something that they can do themselves. Just the CO2, we have to, sorry, one sentence on it.
Please.
The carbon issue, Germany already decreases the carbon use year by year. It already decreases, all over Europe decreases, even the US decreases. But at the same time, China became more industrialized and went up.
We exported it.
Yeah. So now we have Africa. They are on 1 ton carbon per head, which is near nothing. We are on 8 something. If Africa gets industrialized, whatever, and they have 1.5 billion people right now, and they increase. So if they go up with industrialization, whatever we do in Europe on carbon does not matter at all.
We are screwed. Yes. Everyone is screwed.
Yeah. So what we have to do is we, of course, have to set up businesses there that target these topics. So if we go for energy, go for renewable energy now, there is a time for it. All the laws that we have do exactly say we want to be compliant on environmental standards also. And this will really be a very, very, very tough step from now on, but it will be a very, very good. And in my opinion, as I said in the beginning, Supply Chain Act is the best initiative that Europe has taken for a long, long time on everything that we talk about, pollution, peace, and so on. It really covers a lot if you do it right.
I'll tell you a secret. I was the one who had initiated that in 2007. I had spoken about that at the United Nations and also at IPC, and later on with CLC, with climate, we were going further with it.
Yeah.
So we were the initiators of it.
So from that point of view, yeah, go ahead.
So my question was, because I'm really curious how the market reacts now to your products and services. Maybe it's different in different countries, and you have some stories to share with us. So what do they say about it?
Yeah. As we just started with the early adopters, we are not spread all over right now. So we are just starting with the first two early adopters who then invite their first tier one and tier two suppliers. So we expect in the next days about 400 companies to be on the platform. But even if I don't say a name, I was very, very wondering that one of our early adopters got a client who has something around 100,000 employees in total on that platform. Not doing all the steps because they have another platform as well about compliance, but to say, yes, we go on that platform. We want to share our compliance status on this platform for the mid-sized companies, and they go for it. When he got the invitation to the platform, within 1.5 hours, I got a message about questions and requests, how what could be made better and so on. So all these kind of things within 1.5 hour from a company like that. And the funny thing about that is my neighbor, and this has nothing to do with each other, works for that company. And we were just talking about, okay, well, they are too big to be one of the early adopters, too early, much too early. And now they are on the platform and already targeting how can we improve.
That's fantastic.
Great. That's great. I'm sure they give you a lot of work.
Yeah.
Do you provide also some kind of certification for the business with best standards, or is it
not
in planning?
Yet. Not yet. We will do that for ESG. If we make an own ESG type, or we will be partnering. We are currently in discussion in both directions. About compliance, I always say, there is nothing about you can be better or not as good because either you are compliant or you're not. Either you have to go to jail or you don't. So
well, some people are half-leg in jail. But I agree with you. It's better when it's clear, you know.
You know, we live in Zoom, which has a lot of trading companies. So there's a big part of gray area in between.
Yeah, I know. But either you use kids for your work or you don't. At the end, you can say you don't, but you do. So you do not really tell the truth. That's another thing. That's something that you cannot grade anyway. At the end of the day, we have this grading. We will have workers' voice in there, as I said, this whistleblower topic. So all these kind of information that come around the world to prove that the data that are entered into the system are correct. And if they are not, then the auditor has to go there and recheck.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, that your application depends a lot on voluntary, that people voluntarily write down everything real or not real. And you know that we have recently had also on the news here a couple of times that the bank said, oh, we are not doing anything investing on fossil fuel. Well, in fact, they have been saying a lot of things which is opposite to what they have been doing. Is your platform somehow able to filter that out?
Well, that's about the auditing on the one side. and the whistleblower topic about the on the other side. So there are options to get the real information and to compare it that are given.
But would you also have a kind of AI or something which goes yes. through the data and finds out that whether yes. I'm telling the truth or writing
yeah,
wrong?
Based on this information that we get from external in addition to the self-assessment, we will do that. And we will also have something where we say, okay, we will have to check, are the auditors telling the truth? Yeah. Might be, yeah, okay. I mean, we are talking about corruption all over the world. So also there are some auditors that might be corrupt and we have to figure them out. And that we will do through an AI. Yes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. No, because I remember the story if you have give me 30 seconds. So there's a company who does, because, you know, there's a lot of ivory trading and how do you call it, this animals? Forbidden animal hunting, bones and everything, trading from Africa. And there's a company which runs AI on all the marine data and detects which company, which ship is saying that it has this, but in fact, it has ivory instead of something else. And this, the AI can detect it by going through all the shipping data worldwide.
So actually, one of the reasons also to be here on this platform today is for me, on the one side, to look for more early adopters, also worldwide, of course. And on the other side, also to look for investors if they are interested in expanding that platform. Yeah, yep. We need a lot of capacity. We have so many ideas. I can give ideas to 10 companies to make more features into that one than we have today. We will continue in any case. But there are so many ideas open
Exactly, that because supply chain is, the whole world is breathing it. Everything we do is connected with it.
The next step is tracking, for example. Yeah, how do you track where material comes from? I don't know. We talked about the funding already. We are talking about recycling. So what we are just currently also discussing with a company in Asia about a conception, how to tech every kind of product that you afterwards can see also in 10 years what components are in there, how can you recycle that product. So very important. I mean, of course, products last less and less, as we know, but there are some that last long still. And how to find out how about these kind of products, how to recycle them. And that is something that is also something along the supply chain, because again, if we are in the automotive industry, there's so many different components in there. You cannot just say, oh, well, my car is recycled that way. You have to split it up into all the components and say, this component will be recycled that way, that one will be recycled this way, and so on. And by that, you have to collect all the data along your supply chain.
And would it be possible that I'm a member of your platform? I produce cars and I notice that I pay too much money for the wheels. Can I check on your platform if there is a supplier who can give me the same wheels but cheaper?
Actually, no, we will not. It's not planned to add prices in there. We don't want to rearrange the market from a price perspective or something like that.
We don't want to be a trading platform.
We are really focusing on everything that is about compliance, in a second step about human rights and environmental standards. And these two topics will be increased, which means environmental standards in the Supply Chain Act are on a lowest level, clean water and so on. In ESG, it's much higher, low carbon and so on. And so we try to focus on these topics and increase equality on these.
Okay. And where do you stand now? So how are you planning to grow and reach out more potential customers? Or what kind of marketing strategy are you using?
So we have three elements. First, of course, is the one our customers invite additional customers because they take the supply chain. Yeah. That is the most important, mouth-to-mouth propaganda, that is biggest. Then the second one is we talk to politicians and we talk to business associations to show them that it can be easy to get this kind of transparency. I mean, easy is, it doesn't help you if you get transparent that you're not compliant. You also have to do all the tasks to be compliant, but at least for the transparency, we can take one step from a technical perspective. And the third one is that like meetings with this, like this one and other webinars and local presentations, we will try to push the topic as much as possible. So the we will show that this kind of platform exists and that it works for everybody.
And would you also be working together with, for example, consulting companies who can tell their customers about your services or who can advise their customers to join?
Yes, we already do that. Actually, for us, they are not consultants. For us, they are parts of the platform because we also need these consultant companies on the platform. So a company can later on find another consultant to help them to become compliant. So all these is an ecosystem, and the consultant is part of it. And they will also push, of course, the platform, because for them, a lot of consultants have all the consulting knowledge, but they don't have to have an own platform to spread then the results. There's no need for that as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And what I wanted to ask is about any specific criteria you might apply when you choose your free adapters. Is there sustainability or human rights performance also taken into account or any other criteria that you're using?
Yeah. So of course, for us, the early adopters, because the German Supply Chain Act is currently the strongest that I know, at least. There are some in France.
French also, I was thinking. Yeah.
French is from 5,000 employees. So there are just a few companies that have 5,000 employees in France or any other country. Very, very few. So Germany goes down to 3,000 in from 1st to 1st of January 23 and down to 1,000 one year later. And the EU is even talking about 500 and 250. So our criteria currently is should be somebody from Germany because they have the legal requirement directly. It's not mandatory. So if tomorrow would come somebody come from Egypt saying, okay, well, we are supplying a lot of products to Europe and we want to get on this platform, I will be very, very happy. So that's fine. Right now, we directly talk to German companies, but we are open for everybody who sees that we exist.
Okay.
The platform is in English, French, and German, right?
Actually, it's currently in English and German, not in French right now. French will be added, as a lot of other languages. We have a we have a very, very easy translation environment. So we can just export everything into an Excel file, get it translated, and upload it afterwards. It has to be done. It is, of course, effort, and it's also budget. Currently, our budget goes into the development and not into the nice things. There we are again at the investor point. As soon as we have a little bit more freedom on that side, we will have all the languages and even different signs, of course, like Japanese, Chinese, Indian, writing, Arabic, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And investment, do you have a kind of criteria or kind of what you're looking for?
We want strategic investors who really want to push that topic and not mainly financial investors. We are a freemium platform. It will still make money for the investor, I'm sure about that. But it should be somebody who also says, oh, well, I'm in consulting, for example, on a big scale. And I want to improve that topic together with the platform, things like that. Or I have another company who we were talking to. He is exactly in the supply chain consulting about who should be or how should I manage my supply chain. And that would be a perfect partner as well. So these kind of strategic partners are important for us.
Okay. And how will this, because you have the circular economy system or traditional in supply chain, is your platform ready to guide businesses or support them or advise them through this transition?
No, not yet. So as I said before, this recycling topic is one that we are discussing right now. And as soon as I'm there, then I have also the chance to add the circular economy topics where I produce in a way that it can be recycled in a second step, and the recycling material can go into the next product in a third step, or into the same product even. So that will be something that will be added. Our platform, the advantage of our platform is it's a development platform from in the first place. We are not Bispando. So the point is we have Crossloom, which is a development platform you can develop everything with. So whatever the market is going to, we will be able to develop also into Bispando in a second step. Even if we do not do it ourselves, we will be able, because we have open interfaces, to attach other IT providers to do that instead of us. We don't, as I said also in the beginning, we don't want the total market. I don't like this kind of approach. We know all of them. I don't say names right now. But
then how can our audience support you?
Yeah, well, your audience, there are probably two things that they can help with. I love to have international early adopters. So if they come, just give me a message on bispando.com. You will find all the necessary information. You will also find a small video about the platform and a lot of information about Supply Chain Act. And in the second step, of course, if there are investors, strategic investors listening right now who really want to make an impact on the one side on the platform, but also besides that, with their own business that is related to this kind of supply chain, then we will be also very happy to talk to them.
Okay. And do you have any call to action message for our global audience?
Well, actually, give me a call. I mean, this topic is important for all of us.
Yeah.
But there's just a little percentage that right now can do something about it. Most of the people around the world have to be in a passive mode right now. And it's in industrialized countries. And in the industrialized countries, the bigger companies that are now requested to do something.
Yeah.
And we do it with our platform, not as a bigger company, but we help them to then again reach out to all the smaller companies. That's our idea.
This is amazing.
It's really nice. I mean, I like your approach. I also checked your short video explaining the platform. I think even if it's compliance and supply chain, anyone can understand what it's about, right? So it's really cool.
And I can already think, while you were speaking, I was already thinking, which are the major companies or also small ones who would, I think, be extremely right place to put on your platform? And how should they contact you or go on your website?
At the website, you will find everything to contact us and to get into the early adopter program or into the investment. That's easy. Otherwise, jasper.baumig@bispando.com is my direct mail address. So that will be easy as well. So that's the other option. And if you ask which company, big or small, as I said, there is no company that is not within any supply chain. So they all have to go in there.
Yeah.
There's no limit.
Yeah, I was thinking we should also try it out then.
You are very, very welcome.
But it has to be product supply chain, or it can also be service supply chain?
Even on services, it, of course, can be in there. Yeah. But because if you provide services, you again work with other companies and all that. And even in services, you have to pay fair wages and so on. So from your perspective, it's also services. Yes.
So you will need to increase my salary, you know.
We are walking on very thin ice now.
Jasper, it has been a pleasure, and the time is running out. So thanks a lot for joining us today. We learned a lot. We will send all companies to your platform in our network to check it out. As a little thank you, register on our platform, chamomile.ch, and we will upgrade it for you.
Okay.
Join our impact.
Thank you very much for your invitation. I was very happy to be here today. And yep. See you again.
And next time you're in Switzerland, we should get together.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
See you then.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dear viewers, with this, our episode 7 ends today. We will be back on Friday next week with another inspiring guest. Please do not forget to subscribe on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/SwissImpact, to keep updates and newest information. And remember, next week on 24th of March, we have a free fundraising summit for impactful businesses. It's for everyone who wants to get their business funded. You can get all the information on chamomile.ch in events.
And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking support or investments to our TV, as long as you're impactful, so that they can get the support from our audience.
Right. And as for now, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Bye for now.
Bye. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show Swiss Impact with Banerjees.
Make sure you check out the next one, and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And until then,
impact is best when you invest.